your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. During this last few weeks and up until the end of June, I'm doing a series of programs specifically about the application of treatment in different circumstances. And some of these interviews, as some of you might know, are interviews with people who have started programs or treat a certain population. And then some of them are interviews with individuals who have had a certain specific circumstance in their life in which Reiki has played a major part. And today I have with me Karen Johnson. She's from Canada. And Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm really pleased to have you, Karen. And I'm wondering, do you remember how long we've known each other?
Oh, I think I met you in 2000, actually.
Really?
I think it was then, yeah.
It's only 8 years?
I think so. It was just before I was initiated as a master. It wasn't too long before, and I was initiated in 2001. So I think it's been 8 years.
Wow, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember meeting Karen at a workshop that she went to, given by Paul Mitchell. I think that's where we met.
You were giving the workshop, actually. And you talked about skiing. And that was
right, exactly. So I think it was before 2000. But
Okay. Anyway,
let's not quibble. One of the things that happened during the early days of Karen and I meeting that she came to a workshop called Way of Harmony with Paul Mitchell, and this is based on the preparatory techniques and training for an Aikido practice. And I was really impressed by Karen being there. And one of the other things that happened was that I got to see for myself that anybody can do anything. That's sort of where I was. And this was a really good lesson for me because I feel like I had lots of places inside of myself that said, well, I don't really think I can do this. So, Karen, do you want to share with our listeners about your who you are and your condition at birth and also just how you met Reiki?
Okay. Well, I was born very early. My birth date was supposed to be Christmas, but I decided that I didn't want to share a birthday with someone as big as Jesus. So I was born on October 22nd. And,
wow.
Yeah, so I came 9 weeks early to assure myself more birthday presents throughout my life. But the downside of that was that because of lack of oxygen and different complications at birth, I was born with cerebral palsy, which is basically a condition that affects the motor cortex of the brain and affects balance and gait and a few other things. So I grew up not knowing anything different and basically, was content and believed that I could do most anything. And
right.
I was a reluctant Reiki student. My to-be Reiki master unfortunately took the first bent that she took was, well, this can make you physically better, you know. It could help you in certain ways. And I said, I don't need to be physically better. I'm fine, thank you. I'm really happy. So then she took another bent, and she said, I was going to her for other treatments, other types of treatments. And so she took another bent and said, oh, but really, you know, personal growth-wise, you would really find it very, very wonderful for you. And I said, I'm doing fine that way, too, really. I go to groups, and I you know, have places to share. And so she wasn't getting anywhere. I was a very reluctant student. And so, but one day, in the midst of her treatment, because she was giving me a colonic, and part of that was just massaging my abdomen, and she was doing this, and I felt this incredible warmth, and it felt healing. It felt sacred to me. And I actually sat up on the table and said, "What is that?" And she said, "Well, that's Reiki. That's what I've been trying to tell you about." And at that moment, I jumped into the deep end and said, "Well, I'm signing up for your next class." I needed to feel it, and I needed to know what it felt like for me. And once that happened, I knew that I needed to take first degree. Wow. And so I did.
And so when was this?
1996.
1996. So how old were you then?
Just turning 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, you're a school teacher, is that true?
Yes, yes.
Yeah?
I'm a school teacher by profession, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
I basically deal with special needs adults.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Great. So you're teaching school. This woman is bugging you to take Reiki, and
right.
you feel it, and then you say yes.
Yes.
So then what happens?
Then for the first few months, all kinds of new things started to happen. I learned to walk backwards. So my adult students had to endure me as I, the day I found this out, I took a step back to, get a piece of chalk, and I could do it. And I realized this was the first time in my life I'd ever done it. So then they had to watch me as I walked backwards around the class in circles for some minutes, saying, "I've never been able to do this." And so the first few months of having Reiki were like that. I kept discovering new little things that I could do that I'd never done before, that uh-huh. no one would have even put on a list of things that Karen couldn't do. I wouldn't even put them on a list. But slowly I started to see that there were it was fun. It was
uh-huh.
great. Yeah.
But are these things that you maybe could have done but you didn't try, or...
I'm not sure, and I suppose we'll never know for sure. But I started discovering them at that time,
uh-huh.
you know,
uh-huh.
and so then I began thinking differently, and so it went from there.
Mm-hmm. So then you took a second degree eventually?
I did. Once I was really in. I mean, I might have been reluctant at the beginning, but I could hardly wait to take second degree. So I took second degree... the year after that, and I never expected to train as a Reiki master. That wasn't at all anything that I thought I could or wanted to do, but that came along in its own time, too, and I moved on to my Reiki master's land and kind of became an apprentice in many ways and just lived and breathed Reiki for a few years there, and it was good.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So eventually, you told me at one point that because of your treatments with yourself and these discoveries about what you could do, that you started moving more. Is that true? That you started to get in better physical shape as well?
Well, I began to. I realized that there was an athlete underneath me, and I think more than anything. I think the physical changes were important at the beginning because I needed to see the difference. I needed to kind of have my own belief system. I was a skeptic at the beginning, so I needed something physical. But
uh-huh.
then slowly I began to see that the best changes were the emotional ones and the healings that happened in those levels, and just beginning to believe that I could do all kinds of incredible things that I never thought were possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had this when I had Reiki for about 5 years. I wrote this little letter to students of Reiki, and it's published in a little book called the Blue Book. And I had this experience myself that when I thought I knew myself, and I thought I knew my limitations, and when after I'd had Reiki for a few years, I realized that I had had this experience, sort of like painting myself into a corner and only seeing the walls in front of me and the things that I could not do. And then what happened to me with Reiki, I felt like, is that I simply got turned around, that somehow my perspective of my life was still, might have started in a corner, but I just turned around and I saw that I had all these other possibilities, and I just started, you know, walking in a different direction through possibility rather than through limitation. And I'm just wondering if that feels like a similar path for you.
Yeah, I didn't know I was in a corner.
No,
I was happy in my corner.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's safe. Yeah, and I didn't, when my Reiki master was trying to convince me that this would be a great path, it was like, but I'm really happy.
Right.
You know, why would I want to move?
Yeah, exactly.
But when the walls started shifting or coming down, or if I don't know whether I turned around or what happened, but something started to happen. It felt like almost an earthquake in a very gentle way that kind of moved the walls, let's say, and I started to see things differently. And I really thank you for opening up the skiing possibility, because once I got on the hill and realized the freedom that my body could feel, then the walls really shifted.
Yeah.
In a big way.
Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I can remember those days of skiing with you, Karen, and it was pretty amazing.
I see myself so differently now, and I think a lot of people look and say, well, what has Reiki done for you? And they want me to list a lot of physical things. And the physical things have been there, but they pale by comparison when I look at just the way I see myself and how big my world has gotten and how much I know that everything is possible now.
Wonderful. Well, I think you've been a great inspiration to the communities who know you, and because I feel like there's a kind of an unconscious assumption that people who are born with cerebral palsy and other congenital conditions are very limited by what they can do. And I feel like you and a number of other people that I know have really disproven this. But I'm just curious about how this is felt on your side, because I know how it's felt on my side. But before you get to answer this question, it's time for our first break.
Okay.
So hold that thought.
All right.
And this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back shortly.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have with me Karen Johnson. She's from Eastern Canada, and she was born with the condition known as cerebral palsy, and eventually became a school teacher and is leading now, a fairly sportswoman's life in her spare time. And that includes downhill skiing, water skiing, what other stuff?
Sailing. Anything to do with water, frozen or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess in Canada, my imagination is that water is often frozen there.
Yes. Yes, but I take advantage when it's not to go water skiing.
Great. So I was, I guess I'll do a bit of a lead-in on this question again, because I realized where it came from was my own strange experience, or I don't know whether I should call it strange, but my own limited experience when I was a new Reiki person, and that is that I was volunteering for teaching in a back then it was called the Handicapped Ski Program. Now, more politically correct, it's called the Disabled Skiers Program, I believe. And it's in Winter Park, Colorado. And I believe that this is the home of this particular kind of program.
Right.
And anyway, I was teaching in this program, and I just saw how many people were out on the slopes, including myself, and had these life-changing experiences, like being able to move without effort and moving with grace and speed that was not possible in other ways or means of locomotion. So, you know, I suggested to Karen that she try downhill skiing. But in the meantime, I had gone back to Winter Park after I became a Reiki master and started doing workshops there. And I was treating a lot of the people who were in the program. But the really very intense question that I had at that time was, what is healing? Because I realized that I was probably not going to bring back the eyesight of people who had been blinded by juvenile diabetes or people who had cerebral palsy. They weren't going to just stand up straight and walk without a lean. I wasn't going to grow back limbs of amputees and... You know, it was, I just, you know, had this weird question in the back of my mind, like, what am I doing?
Right.
And and so I realized eventually, which took me, I have to admit very sheepishly, about 3 years before I got that I just had this assumption that wholeness was having two arms, two legs, two eyes, two ears, and that that was what Reiki was somehow calling out in people. And then I just realized, you know, you have to really change your idea here, hon, because
it's not working.
Number one, it's not working. And number two, it's ridiculous because the people that I was treating were happy, whole, excited about their lives. They were successful in what they were doing. And not just skiing, but in their life in general. And I just, somehow I had to go to this program, not for me to heal them, but somehow for this part of me to be healed. Yeah, so this is my little story and, possibly some shades of confession. And I'm just wondering how that has felt on your side, Karen. Like, when you first got Reiki, did you feel like people were going to try to cure you, or?
Oh, I'd been feeling that for a long time before Reiki, because I was brought up Catholic, so whenever I was near any charismatic people, they always wanted to lay hands on me, and they were always extremely disappointed when I got up and I still limped, you know? And so I think people did, on some level, carry that hope. Because then they could see what their work was doing, you know? And for a while, I went along with it. I threw away braces and, you know, I did all kinds of things. But, you know, then I got my senses back and braces are good, so I got my braces back again. But it was the whole process that I needed to go through, too, with them. But in the end, like, it's the sight that I've gained about myself and the insights that I've had. And I'll never forget the first time on the hill and feeling the wind in my face and feeling the freedom in my body. And it's like it unlocked something, a way of seeing, an assumption about myself. You know, maybe you had assumptions, but I've had assumptions too. I got them from the people around me. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I didn't even know I had them until I started breaking them. And then once I started breaking them, more and more came to light, and I'd break more, you know. So it's been fun breaking all those assumptions. It's been fun on one level, but it's also been scary. Like, there, it's a two-sided coin, because if you break too many too quickly, it feels like the world on which you're standing begins to shake, you know? But I think if ever I gave myself a treatment or someone else gave me a treatment and I got up and suddenly I didn't have cerebral palsy, now I'd be ready for that. But before, my life was so built around being a handicapped person, and I so identified with it that my place on earth was to be this person with this disability, that I don't think I would, I don't know whether I'd know what to do with it if it would have happened 8 years ago. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So, go ahead.
So now, like, you know, I think I've cracked enough assumptions that I'm ready to look for more, you know. But I think a lot of, like, you're not the only one with assumptions, you know, and everyone has assumptions, including me.
Right.
So let's break our assumptions together.
Right.
Rather than think that you're, you know, that able-bodied people have assumptions, but I don't. Well, I do too. You know, it's just what we assume. But I love that critical assumptions, and they're so hard to find sometimes. But when you get to them, and when you can break them, there's so much freedom.
Beautiful. So, would you say that you're working on your wholeness?
I would say that. Yeah, like the whole person. And it's interesting because I take a service in the city for the disabled. It's called Paratranspo, and it gets me from one place to the other in an easy fashion. And, you know, the same drivers have been working for 20 years, and I've seen them on and off. And one of the drivers, he said, "I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I'd like to tell you something about what I've seen over the years." And I'm always curious, so I said, "Go ahead." And he said, "Well, you seem to have developed from a girl into a woman." He said, nothing wrong, of course. I'm not, you know. And I said, no, I like it. Tell me more. So he said, "Well, I don't think you knew you were a woman before. And now the way that you present yourself is so much different." And I just took it as such a compliment. Because I don't think I knew before that I was a total woman. Like, I knew that I could think good thoughts and have great conversations on one level or another with someone, but I didn't realize that I had aspirations of maybe marriage or partnership, or like I didn't even let that enter my head because I didn't think it was possible.
That's a huge assumption, huh?
Yeah, it is. But I didn't even know I made it. But now that it's changing, my outward way of presenting myself is also changing. And this lovely man that I've only met, you know, every so often over years, just his reflection back to me said, "It's changing."
And great.
So that's huge for me.
Yeah, that's very huge. So tell me, as far as Reiki, I wonder if you have adopted a certain pattern of treatment, or if you just treat yourself as much as possible and also receive treatments from others. I'm just wondering, historically, in the beginning, how this whole thing developed inside of yourself. And mostly so that other people understand, you know, your own, well, I don't want to say regime, but your own... That sounds a little bit militaristic. your own pattern of treatment and so on, so they have some sense about how these changes came about for you. So mm-hmm. did you treat yourself every day?
Certainly at the beginning, I was very much into treating others at first.
Uh-huh.
Because, do you know why, though? It's a very interesting thought that I'd never been able to give to others without exhausting myself.
Right.
Right? And
right.
suddenly, I had this way that did not exhaust me. In fact, it energized me. And I could gift back to others. And it was just such a liberating feeling that I wanted to do it from morning till night.
What a huge, huge shift.
Yeah. And so at first when I took it, there were two things that happened. Once I thought I would never treat a person in my life because I was very, very, I wasn't a touchy-feely person at all. And the first time that I gave a treatment in my first degree class to someone else, I was so nervous that I giggled through the whole thing. And finally peed in my pants, if you can imagine. And, it was just not a good experience.
That was one of those memorable, I want to repeat this experiences.
You know, so I thought, oh, well, at least they taught us self-treatment, so I'll be okay. So I was, for that first week, I treated myself every night.
Uh-huh.
And then someone asked me for a treatment, and I said, well, as long as you don't mind if I laugh, apparently I get so nervous that I laugh. And so I made it through that treatment without laughing. And then I was on a roll for a while of treating anyone who would let me near them. And then I realized that that wasn't very balanced. Over the years, I've attempted to treat myself as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
Because I find that for me is the best way.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't taught as much as I thought I might have, but I'm building towards that. I still feel, even though I've had Reiki for 12 years, that I'm still very young in it, and
yeah.
that I still have so much more to learn.
Uh-huh.
And I find that when I'm trying to avoid looking at certain issues, that's when I have trouble treating myself. That's a definite pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's something up. If my treatments become harder to give to myself,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. but certainly it's been with me over the years, and it's been for me a spiritual path too. It's been my spiritual practice. It's become that over the years, so it's deepening. But I don't feel like I'm anywhere near where I want to be. In
mm-hmm.
terms of being as faithful as I want to be and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that sounds great. Well, I have a question brewing, but I think I'll wait because I think we're right at the edge of break time.
Okay.
Thanks, Karen, for sharing all this with us. And I really appreciate your candor and also just your matter-of-factness. I think that's great.
Thanks.
And we'll be back with more of Karen and her stories and some good insights about all of us. I have this idea that, to say it bluntly, that we're all handicapped in some way. And sometimes it's physical, which is really interesting because then it can be seen and it's much more obvious. But the handicaps that we carry around inside are very debilitating, and I see that Reiki meets all of our needs. So thanks, Karen, for being on the show.
Okay, thank you for asking me.
Yeah, no problem. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy.
Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life, whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here today with Karen Johnson. She's from Eastern Canada, and she lives in a big city. What city do you live in, Karen?
Ottawa, the capital of Canada.
Ottawa. See, I was going to say Toronto, and I knew that wasn't right.
I'm from Toronto. I was born in Toronto, so you're close.
And now you live in Ottawa.
Uh-huh.
So it's cold and snowy there in the wintertime?
It was this winter especially. We had 6 months of snow.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that was kind of lurking in the back of my mind through our conversation in the last session was if someone has or knows of a child or a child with cerebral palsy, what would you recommend to them? I'm just wondering because I think that it's very easy to get caught in this trap of, oh, I'm going to help this child, you know, have a, quote, normal life, whatever that is. And I think that one of the main themes of our talk today has been you've had a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And despite some relativity issues.
Yes.
And that, you know, maybe part of the wonderful treatment process is for parents to also have Reiki so that they see that their child can be normal.
Mm-hmm. I think what I would say to people who are in contact with children who have cerebral palsy or anything that kids are born with is that you have to realize that that is their normal. They know nothing else. And therefore, it's people who look at them and say, oh, it must be so sad that they're not able to do whatever. And that's through your eyes. But it's important to see the world and to hear through their eyes. And I'm not saying that there aren't days when I cry in frustration because it's just something becomes too hard or I'm just too tired. But then it's to be there when that happens, but not to anticipate it happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just to celebrate what they can do. And my dad used to call me lightning. And for me, that meant that he saw underneath. And he was the one rock in my life growing up who saw underneath and who called me lightning.
Mm.
You know?
Beautiful.
And so it's to... If you have a child in your life, and then see what they're interested in, see who they are, really observe them and study them, and then reflect back to them. For me, reflecting back in a playful way through that nickname was the best way, because then I could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I couldn't hear as a child was people telling me how great and wonderful I was.
Uh-huh.
Because for me, standing and walking, it was just something that I learned a little bit later, but I never, ever thought that I wouldn't do it.
Right.
So therefore, for people to say, she can walk, isn't that wonderful? It's like, well, that's kind of normal. Like, you know, can't you compliment me on something else?
Right.
That's more has to do with my spirit and my person. But
uh-huh.
No, my relatives were all into Karen can walk.
Uh-huh.
You know, and for me that wasn't something that I could accept as something that needed to be complimented or needed to be underlined in any way,
mm-hmm.
shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
that was just going to come eventually. I knew it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't doubt it. Other people did. So,
uh-huh.
so don't put your doubt. Don't put your doubts. You know.
Right.
Don't fill your child with doubts.
Right.
Because they don't necessarily doubt, and they may not want to walk. Walking wasn't that important to me, but I saw that everybody else around me seemed to want me to do it.
Uh-huh.
So being a 5-year-old, I decided, well, if it will make everybody happy, I'll try.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Oh, interesting.
But it wasn't top on my list. Crawling
uh-huh.
was really good because I could go really fast.
Uh-huh. Great.
You know? And once I got on the ski hill or behind the boat, I realized I like going fast.
Right. Fast is one of your things. So
yeah.
That had to do with lightning, huh?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, great.
So I don't know whether that answers your question.
Well, I'm just wondering about, you know, the application of treatment.
Yeah.
In this
I think, like, for me, treatments have been very gentle in terms of just unraveling the kind of web that had been woven around me or that I'd woven around myself.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, gentle treatments over time would be great. I you know, without the expectation that it's going to be a physical healing you see or an emotional healing or anything, just let it unfold.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it unfold. And it will. I have no doubt. But every person is so unique and so different in terms of what they need to have happen. And my experience of Reiki has taught me that Reiki goes where it's supposed to go, and it does what it's supposed to do. And I don't need to know as a practitioner, I don't need to know as someone who's receiving it, where or what. And that, for me, is the total gift of it. So
mm-hmm.
just to place your hands is good,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and just to let it let it be and follow your gut in terms of how often or when or where, and let the child, if we're talking about a child, let the child tell you. Because
mm-hmm.
they're in touch. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was in touch. Unfortunately, my view of me being perfect and someone else's wasn't exactly the same, you know. My mother was crying in the corner that she hasn't walked yet, and so, okay, I think I'll try to help with that and get up and walk. But you know, but I think to treat the parent, like for the parent to treat themselves or to treat each other, if it could be a family thing, would be good, because then their assumptions or their fears about their child. My mother apparently was terrified that when I grew up I wouldn't go to dances and I wouldn't, like, she was terrified all her life about me going to a dance. And, you know, maybe if she would have had Reiki and done self-treatments, that would have gone away.
Mm-hmm.
But she wouldn't have to carry that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so I think sometimes the parents need it more than the child does,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or the caregivers or the relatives or the extended family or whomever.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I learned very clearly and was underlined several times for me while I was volunteering for the disabled ski program in Winter Park was this total clarity that Hal O'Leary had, who is the founder of this program, through a lot of interesting circumstances, that he just said, you know, these are normal people, and they just have extraordinary circumstances. And he was very upfront. And, you know, at first I was kind of shocked and felt embarrassed and so on, but I saw that he was breaking through this quality of, like, disabling belief systems
mm-hmm.
that surrounded these people, and that they were struggling in themselves, and they didn't need this echoing on the outside of themselves. So he provided a place where people could just come and be themselves and have their conditions met with matter-of-factness, forthrightness, you know, clarity, and no shame.
Yeah, and a belief that you can do this. We just have to find a way how.
Yeah.
We just have to find the how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as I participate in all my programs and I see different people come and I see how well the volunteers work to find a way for each person to get up on skis, it's just wonderful. And to see that, this, you know, the first time they're up, I love to see it when that happens, and just to see the joy when they come off the water or the hill.
Uh-huh.
It's absolutely wonderful.
Uh-huh. Right. So what is it like teaching? I know that you would have liked to have taught more, and I think that will come because in my contact with you, you've been going through major transformations since your initiation as a master. Have you taught a class?
Oh, I've taught about 20 different people first degree so far.
Oh, great. And how is that for you?
It's I love to teach first degree. And remarkably, I've initiated someone who has a disability and who we met through skiing.
That's wonderful.
So, you know, that's been a common point. But I found it really empowering, actually, because somehow when I meet students within a regular classroom, when I'm a regular teacher, sometimes there's more questioning I feel about who I am and what am I doing it with a scooter and a walker and a cane teaching them. But within the Reiki environment, it doesn't feel like that matters as much to my students.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, I never thought about, you know, how that would be presented as a regular teacher.
Mm-hmm. As a regular teacher, I feel like there's some barriers I sometimes have to go through with people. It doesn't take long, but it does take some time.
Uh-huh.
But I suppose because my Reiki students choose me for whatever reason,
right,
that isn't there,
right,
at the beginning. You know,
I think that's true for all masters too. Normal,
mm-hmm. Normal masters.
Normal.
Yeah.
Great. Well, it's time for another break.
Okay.
This is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Brusco with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I'm here today with Karen Johnson from Ottawa, and she's a school teacher and also a Reiki master. And she also happens to have cerebral palsy, a congenital condition. And we've covered a lot of bases today, and this is our final segment. I'm just wondering, Karen, if there's something you would like to impart to people just in your lifetime of learning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I would really like people to look at their assumptions, and they're hard to find, so to be gentle with yourself as you look.
Uh-huh.
But I think we all have them, and most times we don't know that we have them. So they're hard mm-hmm. little bunnies to find. They hide in good places. But just to note your reactions when you see people that may be different or in some way, shape, or form, note to see what you think. And
mm-hmm.
then ask if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And just go from there. I mean, I have to do it all the time myself. And you know, with students every day that come new to my class, I have to just really clearly ask some questions.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I would love to put together some kind of a workshop or a way of looking at that and somehow impart it to others and
mm-hmm.
and really, really find a way to look more deeply into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you. I think that's a very important point, and especially in Reiki, I feel like there is a lot of times this conversation within ourselves about this question of what is healing, what is wholeness, and how can we impart that to others, and how can we come to that ourselves, and to meet a lot of the assumptions that we have about healing and wholeness. Is a really big step,
mm-hmm.
really big step. Mm-hmm. I know that one of your last and very major transformative processes has been this one that you touched on from the bus driver about coming into your womanhood.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's really been a significant and marvelous transformative process that you're still in.
Oh, for sure.
As far. It's,
yes.
And I realized, I just wondered, I have a question for you. Do you feel that part of that childlikeness that a lot of congenitally disabled people carry is because they end up being cared for longer than what might be ordinary, or they're somehow wrapped in these assumptions that you've talked about before?
I think unwittingly, caregivers and the people themselves get wrapped in assumptions. And I certainly, before this all started happening for me, I certainly was an adult functioning in an adult world. But I wasn't fully alive or fully aware of the fact that I could do everything that everyone else was doing, not just some things. I'd put blinders on. I was painted in the corner you talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, in a lot of different ways, I would say that I had an arrested social development, if we want to put it in a like more technical term.
Right.
But somehow I'd stopped growing in certain areas, certainly in sexual, sensual kind of womanhood areas. I'd stopped growing about 16 because it was too scary.
Right.
But I think people had put assumptions around. My mother was afraid that I'd go to a dance and I wouldn't be able to do it, you know? So her fear, mm-hmm. I think, I picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided, oh, I won't do it. I'll become a nun, which is where I went for a number of years.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
trying to find a way to make a life meaningful, you know, I thought it might
mm-hmm.
be my only door that was open.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know there are other doors.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
But yeah, I think wrapped in assumptions is a good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like Reiki has given you really great gifts, and the healing goes on.
It does. My Reiki master said when she first initiated me, you won't know yourself in 2 years. And I thought, oh, that's baloney. Like, of course, I know myself very well now, and I can't change that much. And I bite my tongue.
Well, let's express that another way. Why don't we? Why don't you? Can you say that again in another way?
I totally agree with her and want to celebrate the fact that I'm different every day.
Uh-huh. Great. Thanks.
Okay.
I can get behind that.
Okay.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm really thrilled that you came on and that you were so willing to share your story. I know that for myself, in my own, confronting my own, what I would call disabilities, and most of those were really strong assumptions about who I was and who I was not, came into bearing. And Reiki, downhill skiing first, cracked the window of this, and then Reiki just really gave me so many avenues of being able to see the assumptions, able to see that they weren't true, giving me comfort at the time when I needed to be comforted because it was too scary or it was really painful to give things up because, mm-hmm. you know, I had my life built around being a
Yeah,
person.
That's the scary part, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, people have a hard time imagining who I was 30 years ago when I first really took this practice on. But I remember inside. I mean, there is still this part of Phyllis that's still very much alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't diss her. I want to be able to celebrate her because she brings me back to a place where I started from. And it was
yeah.
a good place. And I think that's the most profound assumption that I have about myself was that, you know, I was really okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't come from, like, a minus place. I came from a normal place, who I was, and I grew to who I am, normal.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's important when we change not to get rid of the one that we came from. It's to thank her for being there at the beginning, you know.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of strength in that, and I appreciate seeing that in you also,
mm-hmm.
and hearing that from you. It's really inspiring for me, very much so. So,
oh,
yeah. So I'm just I'm wondering, do you send yourself distant treatments also?
I did for a time. I haven't for a while, to be perfectly honest. But when I did, it was really, really powerful in a different way. You've just reminded me, so that's good.
Uh-huh. Because, you know, I went through a phase where I couldn't do distant treatments on myself, just in this whole recollection era. And I think it was because I was afraid of what I would find.
Mm.
And then in the last few years, it's been easier and easier. And now there are really profound experiences of what I would call going to the essence of who I am, which is beyond my personality, I feel.
Okay.
And I wondered if you had come to that place also.
It's a good place maybe for me to think about going to.
Uh-huh.
Certainly, there was a time when I sent myself treatment, but it might be a place, time to go back.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Great. Well, I leave you on that note.
Okay.
And thank you again very much, Karen.
You're welcome.
You're willing to be here. Yeah. And this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, balancing form and essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.